We talked about independence candidacy earlier this week with Michael Eisenhower in studio here as well. And there's a lot of things I think people are considering. You look at how many people claim to be independent, right around 45%, but often they do fall on one side or the other. I think there's a movement in this country. There's frustration at the far right, the far left, the kind of gridlock. And then we don't see solutions going forward in some areas, some key areas in this country. Independent candidate for U.S. Senate, Seth Bodner, is in studio here today. We'll talk about common ground and get issue and solution oriented, but we'll also ask the tough question about, are you really an independent? Because you have a lot of endorsements, you have a lot of Democratic staff members helping to run your campaign. That's a fair question, but we're going to get into the policy here as well about fiscal responsibility, election integrity. The president had a huge speech and a lot of documents released on that last night, too. So we have got that today. Seth Bodner in studio for a Friday here on Voices of Montana. Well, again, thank you for making us part of your Montana day, 2 decades strong and working on 3. Be in Lewistown on Wednesday. Hello to our friends there at KXLO. And also a good shout out to the folks in Kalispell, KOFI, 1180 AM. You'll be glad to hear Seth Bodner is in studio here, former University of Montana president. Last time I chatted with you, Seth, thanks for throwing your hat in the ring. I think it's quite a challenge. I think it's important. And I think that the people who do that are unique in a lot of ways too. So thank you, Seth.
Well, thank you.
I appreciated your run there at the University of Montana too.
Yeah, no, it was a tremendous privilege to serve this state, leading one of our public universities. So not just University of Montana, but Montana Tech, UM Western, Helena College, and working really across the university system to provide opportunity for Montanans of all ages.
Army Green Beret service, and also taught at West Point. Those are some high accolades as well. So leading up to this decision to run for Senate, what in all those experiences are you relying on, number one, to make that decision, and then two, to run the campaign, and then three, if you're successful, to be a independent U.S. Senator?
Yeah, well, look, I believe to my core in the promise of this country. You know, I served overseas, put my life on the line. I have friends on the ground who gave their life for this country, for the freedoms that we enjoy. And I'm raising 3 kids in this state. You know, I have three kids. They're the 6th generation in their family to grow up here in Montana.
That's a good call on your part, by the way.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And it's a privilege. But I see us on a path to hand over a country to them that's less prosperous, that's less secure, that's more divided, that's more in debt than the country that we grew up in. I think it's a moral failure. And I think our national political system, where our elected leaders in D.C. are more accountable to party bosses and insiders than they are to the people of this great state, I think that national system is failing the hardworking families of Montana. And I think we need change.
But are you bringing change? Because you're probably getting this every day on the campaign trail as well, that you're running as an independent, but you have a lot of Democratic support behind you. There's pressure for the Democrat in the race to drop out. This has been part of the playbook in other states as well. How do you answer that question? And how often are you being asked that question? And how does it make you feel?
Well, we have a lot of Republican support too. We have our state's former Republican governor, the former head of the Republican National Committee.
Mark Roscoe hasn't endorsed a Republican since he left office.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say who gets to decide what a Republican is. Mark Roscoe was the head of the Republican National Committee. Mark Roscoe was the chair of President George W. Bush's reelect in 2004. The former head of the Montana Republican Party, Susan Giese, has also endorsed our campaign. So this is a campaign for all Montanans of all political parties, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, who feel like Washington, D.C., and the corrupt politicians who answer to party bosses, who toe the party line and do what they're told, whether it's good for Montana or not. That's the problem in this country. The battle in Montana right now, frankly, I'll tell you, the battle in this country is not between, in my view, Republicans and Democrats. It's between what I call the sensible majority and the extremes. The extremes of both parties that are driving the conversation in this country and not driving progress. And that's why you see Montana hardworking families, Montana's farmers, Montana's ranchers struggling. And I don't see our political leaders standing up and fighting for them.
And I think that's and that's easy to say too. But there's a lot of work being done in Congress across the aisles, and when you talk to people there, members there, that's the normal run of business. But how did we get here? How did we get to where we seem that our national parties are put into the corners?
Yep.
And a lot of people are saying let's work together for some common ground solutions.
Yep.
How does this happen? And is that
our founders warned us of this. George Washington, our first president, our only independent president, actually, warned us of this. You know, he dedicated his farewell address, which is when a president really says what they mean. It's when Ike talked about the military-industrial complex. But we think about George Washington. He warned against what he called the baneful effects of the spirit of party. And what he talked about is he said that when you have this intense partisan faction, this creates a spirit of revenge, you know, that pits American against American and can allow cunning, unprincipled, ambitious men to usurp the will of the people and take control of the reins of government. And it allows corruption to creep in, foreign influence to creep in. When people put party over country, the founders who organized this system, they knew how it could fail. And that's what they articulated. It would fail when people put party loyalty above country. And you see that again and again and again. Blind allegiance. Last year was the most partisan year in the history of the U.S. Congress. You know, I mean, at the same time, members of Congress are wealthier than they've ever been. Corruption is rampant in D.C. right now. You see, you know, Montana farmers struggling. You know, farm bankruptcies in the United States of America were up 46% last year. We are a net importer of food in this country today, and not by a small amount, by almost $50 billion. Yet we haven't passed a farm bill since 2018. We haven't passed a full farm bill since 2018. Where's Congress? Why are they not doing the basics to support our farmers, our ranchers here, to make life manageable for hardworking Montana families?
And a lot of people would come back and say, you know, the Democrats who are in charge have been responsible for that.
I would say both of our national parties have left places like Montana behind. I think you look at the leader of the Senate Democrats, and a lot of people say, oh, you need to run as part of a party. Why would I go work for Chuck Schumer? Chuck Schumer said publicly, for every working class voter, every working class voter in rural areas that the Democrats lose, well, they can just gain back to in the cities and suburbs. That's a strategy for leaving places like Montana behind. And frankly, the National Republican Party is taking Montana for granted. They're treating elections here like corporate succession plans. You know, they have Steve Daines that waits and says, tells everybody he's running until the very last minute, 2 minutes before the deadline. He withdraws, but he let his anointed successor, U.S. Attorney Kurt Olmey, said, I'm going to let you know, right, and I'm going to withdraw. You sneak in. You can run unopposed. That's not an election. That's not democracy. We want to talk about election integrity. We should look no further than right here in Montana, where we had the Republican Party, national D.C. insiders, rigged a primary election in this state. That's not acceptable. And that is the National Republican Party taking Montanans for granted. That's not okay.
Something that I also struggle with, I guess. And it's a statement that former Democratic Party Chair Nancy Keenan said. There's not a viable path for Democratic victory in this race, and that's why they're supporting an independent. If we don't push back, why don't they change their policies? They can see that almost 70%, if not more, want this Save America Act, and the president laid out a pretty good case for it last night. If we're just saying the party is poison, I'm going to run somebody else, that doesn't change the party. So how do we get people to recognize their policies? And it's on the right side as well, obviously. How do we get people to recognize in those parties their policies are not representing us?
Well, look, we keep talking about parties. You know, I'm not running against Montana Democrats, and I'm not running against Montana Republicans. I'm running against a system that has been captured by a corrupt political class in D.C. that is using partisan warfare to rip us apart, that is convincing us that the people that are of a different party are not only, you know, perhaps have the wrong opinions, but they're bad and immoral people. We are tearing this country apart. You know, and you look at at political rhetoric in this country. You look at how people are being just ripped apart, and our leaders are not just working to, are not just failing to quell the division, they're bringing the gasoline. And I'll tell you, they're bringing it strategically because a divided and an uninformed and an angry electorate is a heck of a lot easier to control than a united and informed electorate. This is about control. And you see it, frankly, you see it in the Montana GOP, where you had the head of the Montana GOP working with outside big money groups to bring in millions and millions of dollars of dark money to challenge Republican legislators who dared work across the aisle. So we talk about working across the aisle, but when we see moderate Republicans who worked actually with moderate Democrats to move forward Governor Gianforte's agenda, those moderate legislators, what was their reward for standing up for their constituents and trying to get to common sense solutions? Well, it's primary tax and millions of dollars of outside dark money to saying, look, you don't get to vote for your constituents. You do what you're told. That's wrong. That is taking power away from the people. We need to give it back to the people. And that's what this campaign's about.
And thank you, Seth, for that. What's a Republican? What's a Democrat? What define them as
well,
you understand
me.
It.
You tell me. And I've said to folks maybe that I might be a better Republican than 95% of the Republicans in the U.S. Senate because I'm a fiscal conservative. And these guys added $4 trillion to the national debt last year with a so-called Big Beautiful Bill that gave $1 trillion plus worth of tax cuts to the wealthy in this country while eliminating health care benefits and going to crush our rural hospitals. But $4 trillion to the national debt. $118,000 is the amount of debt that a newborn in the United States of America inherits today. When I was born in the 70s, it was $3,000.
Yeah.
Who's fighting for that? I'm for rule of law. You know, you got people in the U.S. Senate who are okay pardoning people who attacked and killed cops. That's not okay. You know, I'm for standing up to Russia. You know, I think Ronald Reagan was very brave in saying, tear down this wall, stand up to Russia. We got people who are licking Putin's boots. Like, I think that, you know, I don't know what a Republican is today. I don't know what Democrats are today. You know, that is the problem at the national level. But we're getting so divided and people get pushed into their camps, the red corner or the blue corner. And it's a boxing match. And lots of money gets made on that boxing match. But the people getting punched are the American people and working families in this state.
There are like 269, I think, in a report from Montana Free Press, independent candidates running for federal office across the country. A couple here in Montana, as well as we have noted. That is an increase of like from 208 in the last major election cycle. And I think that represents something, right? Welcome back here. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. And our voices have been frustrated, I think, at times with things that we see, especially between the two parties, where it is, as Seth Bodner, who's in studio here, independent candidate for U.S. Senate, had noted, the two parties are playing politics and not governing for our country. And I understand there's the reasons behind that, because political power is important to getting things done. But is it more important than getting things done? Sometimes it seems that's the case. Seth, how are people receiving this? I mean, you know, I had a lot of questions, too, about the independent candidacy and who you're going to caucus with and all of that. But there is this frustration. And there are a lot of people who would say, heck, if I'm running as an independent because we want to think of ourselves as independent. We may make choices between this and that eventually. And we have to define, really, what is Republican, what is a Democrat, and what is an independent? And I think we have to define that before we go to the voting booth, right?
Yeah.
But what are you hearing? I mean, how do you put your finger on this opportunity to maybe coalesce from where we're at right now?
You know, what I'm hearing on the trails is what I've found to be true, you know, for last 8 years, you know, leading the university, what I've found to be true for you know, the last couple of decades, talking to Montana, it's, you know, my wife's family, many others across the state, that when you think about it like a football field, politically, most Montanans live somewhere between 25 yard lines. You know, maybe you got a person that's in the 40 on the right hand side of the field, somebody that's at the 45 on the left. Those two folks are 15 yards apart, but our national politics are being driven by people at the 1 yard lines. And I've talked to the number of Republicans who have said something and Democrats that have said something to the effect of, you know, I really don't like my party right now. I don't think they're doing what they should be for us, but I like the other party less. And I'm really glad that you're giving an alternative. You know, that we ought to have a senator who says, you know what, I don't believe either party has a monopoly on good ideas. I don't. And I'm willing to work with either party when it makes sense for Montana. And I'm willing to stand up to either party when it doesn't. And that message resonates. You know, people want to see things get done. They see spiraling costs. They see it harder every year for working Montana families to actually make the Montana way of life work. And they don't see political leaders that are actually working on the things that will make a difference in their lives. So they want change.
866-627-5483. We'll go to the phones here. Skip listening in Hamilton, KLYQ. Skip, you're on the air once again with Seth Bodner.
And thank you very much, Tom. And it's nice to talk to you again, Seth.
How you doing,
and,
Skip?
Okay, so I wanted to, when I heard you were on, I got a big grin on my face because in about 2.5 hours, I'm going to be in a room with maybe 20 people and Kurt Olney. And so I'm going to ask him a question very similar to what I'm asking you. And I want to compliment you about something you did here in Hamilton, is where I am, or Valley County. Yep. And that is that when we had big meetings about something like our horrible situation going on about the Sheep Creek mine.
Right.
Of all of the people that are running or were running for the primary, independent Democrat or Republican, you were the only candidate that came down and showed up at a meeting so you could learn about our biggest problem here. And I thank you for that because I could tell you were very intent on understanding it. So I can ask you this question, sir. Actually, two quick ones. The first one is, I know that tomorrow you're going to be over in Granite County, is what I was told. Mm-hmm. I was hoping I could pop over the hill for that, but I can't. And if that's the case, please tell people about it. Because Granite County, as an example, and Tom's heard me talk about Granite County before, they're a county that needs to learn more about what's going on. And Tom, your program is not well heard over there because they're trying to figure out how to listen to it. If there's a way to listen to it on a computer, there's people interested in that.
Voicesofmontana.com. The live link is closer to the bottom of the page.
So, sir, when it comes to the Sheep Creek mine, which is a huge issue here in Ravalli County, and anybody that's fed by the waters of the Bitterroot right up through the whole system of rivers. Senator Sheehy made a statement about 4 days ago now, and he said there was two things that were very important to him, and that is the people that are most affected by this mine, which is the residents of Ravalli County, should have more skin in the game and be listened to more closely by those at the top that make the decisions about this. And then in addition to that, he said that the Fast Track 41, which this mine is on, that he was going to, and I'm capsulizing here, but he's going to work to get it off of the Fast Track 41. Seth, if you became a U.S. senator, would you be doing the same thing for us in fighting for those things? That's so important to people here because of the nature of our system. And thank you very much, sir, for coming on today.
Yeah, no, thanks, Skip. The short answer is yes. Yeah, that's why I came. That's why I came up to Hamilton to listen and learn. And you know, that's what this campaign's about. It's about showing up in every nook and cranny of this state, hearing concerns of communities, showing up and listening and learning. You know, one of the things I always learned from day one being a lieutenant in the 101st Airborne Division, you don't always have to have all the answers. You don't have to know, but you have to listen. You have to work with folks. And absolutely, you know, I think putting a mine in the headwaters of the Bitterroot, that's a one-way door that could have catastrophic effects. And you know, I learned a lot at that meeting, actually. The fact that we have 8,000 abandoned mines in the state. Let's be very clear. Critical minerals are very important. They're called critical minerals for a reason. We need them. But why not make some changes to regulation? Makes it easier to get some of those critical minerals from abandoned mines, actually doing some remediation and some cleanup in the process. This is the type of common sense approach that you can build when you have conversation, when you have dialogue. And I said very clearly, you can be pro-business and pro-environment. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. And I think we heard that loud and clear from you know, the pachyderms in Inter Valley County, from the Democrats in Inter Valley County. So I really appreciate the opportunity to spend that time with you guys down there.
How do you manage that balance? I mean, we look at public lands. We need our resources. They're there for a reason if we're responsible in mining that or logging or things like that. But we've seen a lot of lawfare surrounding these activities. And how can a business operate if they're going to work 20 years on a project and then at the end of it, there can be a bad decision from a court and all that money and all those jobs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we need to provide regulatory certainty, legal certainty for businesses so they can operate and they can make investments, they can make plans. Take an important resource in this state, our forest resource. We've seen over 30 mills close in the last 30 years in this state. While at the same time, we see our forests, many of them they're not being managed well, right? And that is causing catastrophic fire risk. It's harming habitat, and it's, you know, we're missing an opportunity to rebuild the Montana wood products industry that could actually get to fewer catastrophic fires, healthier forests, better habitat, more jobs. These are the types of common sense solutions that I want to work on the U.S. Senate to bring people together, say, how do we meet these? This is a win, 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 win. This is not a partisan issue. This is a Montana issue. And we need leadership that's going to dig in and focus on those things. The problem is that doesn't get you a hit on MSNBC or Fox News. It's not a fight. It's not it's not going to be juicy, right? But that's boring work, maybe, but it's impactful work. And I'm okay. I want to do boring work that's impactful for Montanans.
How are we doing in Montana regarding this? And we can go back 50 years, but I think we've learned our lessons in a lot of ways. I hope we have. But again, we're also able to repeat them, mistakes. But how assess that now for us?
Well, I think Montanans do come together. I think, you know, Montanans do come together and work for common sense solutions. When it comes to issues of conservation, 90% of Montana think that's an important value, right? Maybe there's some disagreement about the ways in which we can do that, but we agree. You know, and I talked about the management of our forests. I think most Montanans agree. And they also agree that we got to protect our public lands. But we got to fund, we can't gut the agencies. Let me put it that way. We can't gut the agencies responsible for caring for them, maintaining them. And we've seen the Forest Service, BLM, National Park Service get gutted. That impacts this community in a major way. And in Montana, say, hey, that doesn't make sense. And so this campaign is about making Washington, D.C. work more like Montana, not the other way around.
If I haven't given it yet, it's SethForMontana.com to find out more. Pretty decent website, Seth. There's a lot of issues right there explained. And I think, and welcome back here. It's good to have you alongside for Friday.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. This is what I want to do. I got to take Earl's call. Thank you, Earl, for standing by here as well. And then we're going to pour into some of these policies.
Yeah, all right? Let's do it.
Because that's what we're going to be voting on here for the most part. So let's take that call from Earl, listening in East Helena on KCAP. Good to have you along, Earl. Thanks for waiting, too. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Tom, but it's Bill.
Oh, Bill. Oh, that's okay. My fault.
Ken wasn't listening quite right. I called in the other day and talked to Dr. Eisenhower when you had him on, and thank you for that. So I thought I'd ask the same questions of Seth here, if that's okay. First of all, Seth, where in Montana do you hail from? I'm originally from eastern Montana, and as a young adult, I fell in love with the mountains, and that's why I live up here in the Helena Valley now.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bill. My family and I live in Missoula. I was the past 8 years was the president of the University of Montana. We got three kids growing up going to school there at Hellgate High School and Washington Middle School there.
Oh, very, very cool. Yeah, it's a lovely country. My next question is about data centers. What's your opinion of those? And then the third question is, please don't let them force either you or the Democrat to withdraw. We need to have the choice of all three for all the people of Montana. I mean, I don't remember her name right offhand, but she won the Democrat nomination. She deserves to be there as much as you do and as much as Kurt does. So I'll go ahead and listen to your response on the phone. And thanks again, Tom.
Bill.
And he's,
yeah.
Bill and
thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Good question.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. And yeah, look, we're running a race for all Montanans. We're not telling any other candidate what to do. We're running a race that speaks to every Montanan of all political parties, and we're building a coalition of Republicans, of Democrats, of independents, you know, which currently represent the largest voting bloc in Montana. So I appreciate your perspective. With regard to data centers, look, I think we need to make sure that data centers don't happen to Montana communities without their involvement. We need to make sure that that if there is a data center proposed, that we have community involvement. We have absolute transparency on the power costs, the water impacts. These are huge potential draws of power, tremendous risk of water use and potential water contamination. And we need to make sure that there's complete transparency. We need to make sure that if a data center is proposed, that the data center itself is bearing the costs of any new power generation, that they're not taking a drop of Montana water, which is a tremendously precious resource. We cannot have redacted contracts, you know, agreed to in the middle of the night without input or awareness of communities in Montana. We just talked about the Sheep Creek mine, and Montana communities deserve to be engaged, deserve to be involved. And I think supporting things like the Ratepayer Protection Act that we're seeing in Congress, making sure that we have accountability, making sure that we're using the tax code as a way to hold data centers accountable to fulfilling the commitments they make. This is something that that we have to keep a very, very close eye on, make sure we have guardrails in place.
But that's not a no data center whatsoever approach. And I appreciate that. What then, you know, talk about the importance of data centers for national security or AI in that regard.
Well, look, the AI technology has incredibly transformative potential for good and for bad. And so this is a, you know, the idea of sticking your head in the sand and pretending like this technology doesn't exist while China develops it and moves forward in the world, that's not a strategy for success. Nor is it a strategy for success to just let one of the most impactful, you know, technologies we'll see in our lifetimes go without any regulation. And we need guardrails. We need common sense policy. You just saw the founder of Google's AI platform, you know, calling for common sense, you know, guidelines. You know, some basics that we can agree on, right? Protect our kids, protect jobs. Not to be flippant about it, but prevent the elimination of the human race for some of these things. I don't mean to laugh, but like right. some basic guardrails that, you know, that's something we can agree on. And I think that's something Congress ought to be working on.
And they should be too. I mean, I know the president has a national plan, so to speak, that folds some of that in, but I don't think it's all in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so this is something where I'd like to see the parties come together on, because I think we need it. And I think there's solutions out there for it. The closed loop system, you know, requiring those things for data centers to pull back. You know, they say that they can bring their own power. That's yet to be proved in my mind.
Right.
So there's a lot to, but I think they're necessary. And so I'd like to see us take a nonpartisan approach to this. But there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I see it on Facebook. And it's even, you know, as Kevin O'Leary, one of the sharks, had noted and sent some documents to Congress about. There's interference from other countries regarding this. So there's nothing simple anymore.
No,
is there?
There's not.
Let's go to something else that's not very simple in terms of fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten to a point in our country where we love our safety net, but now that safety net is becoming a crutch in other areas where there are avenues, I think, better avenues to help people than just hand out cash in that regard. I know that's a simplification of it. Fiscal responsibility, how do we get from where everybody's daddy, so to speak, in the government?
Well, look, I think, you know, this campaign's based on renewing that simple promise that if you're willing to show up every day and put in a hard day's work, you ought to be able to afford to put a roof over your head. You ought to be able to afford to see a doctor when you get sick. You should be able to send your kid to a good high-quality public school where teachers are paid well enough to live in their community. You should be able to hunt, fish, and recreate on our public lands, our common ground. We're not, I don't think anyone says, hey, you should have a, you know, handouts. But when you stumble, you should get a hand up. You know, Montana, I think, is about the importance of individual liberty. You know, the idea that government has no place in my bedroom, the government has no place in my doctor's office, government has no place in my gun cabinet. But we also have a collective responsibility to each other, that when you stumble, you get a, again, not a handout, but a hand up. And that we have a collective responsibility to future generations to be good stewards of both our natural resources and our financial resources. And you know, you talk about the national debt, $39 trillion. I mean, you know, not only have we said earlier, $118,000 approximately is the amount of debt that a newborn in this country comes into the world with.
It makes us anxious.
When I was a kid in the 70s, it was $3,000. Yeah. And that's a moral failure. It's also a tremendous national security risk. We spend more paying the interest on the national debt today than we spend on national defense. Why are we not hearing more about this from our elected leaders in D.C.? They're pretending like this doesn't exist. It's hard. This is going to take both parties locking arms and digging into this. And you know, if I have the privilege of serving the people of this great state, when I get to the U.S. Senate, I'm going to call for a bipartisan commission, a binding commission, to start to lay out some solutions to chip away at this.
Good. I think we need to do that for energy, all these things. You know, some social issues are very difficult, though, to walk through. And that separates people in areas that, you know, it's not so black and white. So it's a little difficult. I got a text message here. Seth Bodner is our guest here today. It is SethForMontana.com. Of course, former University of Montana president. Like I said, I appreciated the work you put in there as well, but much more than that. West Point graduate, Army Green Beret, Iraq War veteran, Rhodes Scholar, Harvard graduate.
I'm not a Harvard graduate.
Oh, no, that's absolutely my fault. That's stupid AI. That's me. Where to pick that up at? Yeah. I should have questioned that, because I go, that didn't make sense. But yeah, you've done so many things, so it wouldn't have surprised me. Yeah.
But you
know,
and I appreciate you mentioning it, but honestly, like, this campaign, and frankly, I would say to every Montanan, it's not about what somebody has done. It's not about somebody's resume. Not about. I've been very lucky throughout my life, very lucky, and I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've had. But running for office is not about what you have done. It's what you're going to do, and who you're working for, who you're serving, and I learned that very early. In my career in the military, I had an old mentor of mine, a former four-star general by the name of Barry McCaffrey, who told me, your soldiers don't care at all about what you've done in your background. They care about two things and two things only. Are you showing up every day to work for them and put them first? And are you good at your job? You don't have to be the best machine gunner, but you should be the best damn platoon leader that you can. If you show every day that you're working for them and not for yourself, and that you're good at your job, you're going to get things done for them, and you're going to bring them home safely, those soldiers will run through hell and back for you.
So will anybody, for that matter, if you show them that amount of respect and consideration, too. Yeah, that's a. This is a text message from Tim in Kalispell. Tim, I appreciate you listening on KOFI up there as well. Hello, I'm liking what Seth is saying about independence, but I have a hard time with having John Tester endorsing him. There's more to it. Says John's a good man, but when he was in Senate, he was the epitome of not being independent. And there's more here too. I kind of identify with that, Tim, a little bit as well, because I think instead of saying my party is poison, I'm going to not do anything about that. There's that opportunity to try and change policy in that regard. And as he was in the Senate and all this stuff was happening, I think there's some criticism regarding, well, you know, why couldn't you do something about it? How, and Tim's question here as well, please ask Seth how John Tester's endorsement will attract conservative voters. But you've talked about that a little bit, but I just wanted to get Tim's comment out there.
I mean, we have the, and you could debate, right, how much one individual senator can do to impact their national party's policies. I mean, I think it's,
you're right.
The national party did pay a lot of attention to Senator Tester. A lot of things that the Democratic Party didn't try even to do because they knew they couldn't get John Tester's support for it. But I tell you, we have the support not just of Democratic leaders like Senator Tester, but also and Senator Baucus and former chairs of the Democratic Party. We also have support from Republicans, you know, a former Republican governor, former chair of the Republican Party, a lot of Republicans that have said, you know what, I want somebody who, you know what, even if I don't agree with you 100% of the time, I know that the only lens through which you're viewing a question is it good for Montana or not? Not what will my party boss say, not how will this affect my ability to win a primary next time? How will this affect my ability to raise money or get a good lobbying job after I'm done? No. There should be one question and one question only that Montana's senator should be saying. What's good for Montana? What's good for the United States of America? That's the only lens through which I'll view every issue, and that's the primary difference between me and my opponents in this race.
We've only got like a couple of minutes. What are the pillars of your platform? What's your message here?
Yeah, look, our platform has three pillars. Number one, to make the Montana way of life a reality again for every single Montanan. Number two, to invest in American competitiveness and security right here in Montana. And number three, to reform a broken national system. You know, and just briefly, what's it mean to make the Montana way life reality again? It's renewing that basic promise that says, again, if you're willing to put in a hard day's work every day, you ought to be able to afford to put a roof over your head. You ought to be able to afford to see a doc when you get sick. You should send your kid to a good public school. Teachers are paid well, and you should be able to hunt, fish, and recreate on our public lands. What's it mean to invest in American competitiveness and security? That means supporting our farmers and ranchers with common sense policy that opens markets, that allows them to get a premium for the quality products that are produced here in this great state, that provides the support in downturns, that also, though, invest in our education and infrastructure to attract companies here to make sure our kids don't have to leave Montana to find a job. And then the third pillar is about political reform. And this is very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm calling for an immediate ban with teeth on insider trading by members of Congress, participation in these prediction markets, you know, lobbying by former members of Congress for foreign governments. I'm actually calling for a basic code of ethics for the Supreme Court, as well as term limits for the Supreme Court and for Congress. You know, Congress shouldn't be a place where you go and sit for 50 years. Three terms in the U.S. Senate, 18 years, almost two decades. You can get a lot done in 2 decades. Thank you for your service. Return to private life. That's what we need. And I'm calling for an overturn of Citizens United to take the dark money out of politics that's corrupting our system.
This is not enough time for this, but real quickly, what was your calling to public service? When did you know you wanted to be a public servant?
You know, my parents were public school teachers, you know, and seeing them serve and then serving in the U.S. military, that West Point model of duty, honor country, and the idea that West Point's mission is to create a leaders of character for a lifetime of service. That has informed me since I was a kid, and that's what's driving me today.
It's a hard effort. It really is to get out there on the trail like this. So good luck to you, and I appreciate you doing this, throwing your hat in the ring. And there are a lot of things that people want to respond to. It's SethForMontana.com. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.